The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Super Bowl. We'll show you the remarkable similarities between the Eagles and the Chiefs that makes this game impossible to predict. Plus, it's Peyton's place in Denver as Sean makes it clear he's the boss. We'll tell you the direct message he sent to Russell Wilson yesterday and the Kings' disappointment. LeBron lets everyone know exactly how he feels about the Lakers' inability to get Kyrie. Welcome to Get Up on this Tuesday morning. I am Dan Graziano. Yeah. We have a crew. Look at this. I got Ninkovich. I got Foxworth. I got Tannenbaum. I got Legler. We're going to talk some football. We're going to talk some basketball. And that's where we start in the NBA with the game of the night. Nets, Clippers. Nets head coach Jock Vaughn. It's the Nets' first game since the Kyrie Irving trade, and Kevin Durant is watching from the sidelines. That lets you know how things are going in Brooklyn. Third quarter, tie game at 77. Cam Thomas, Tim, with the pull-up mid-range jumper.
It got real comfortable. If you need something at the trading deadline, just look down at the end of your bench. You'll find something like Cam Thomas.
Here he is with a three less than a minute later. Nets go into the fourth quarter down by three, however. 4.5 minutes left in the fourth. Cam Thomas doing everything he can. Nets down by one. There's another mid-range jumper and the foul.
Yeah, 21 years old and could not look more comfortable as being the go-to guy, which he has been the last couple of nights.
Back-to-back 40-point games for Thomas. 47 in this one. Under 3 minutes to go. Clippers trail by two, but Kawhi Leonard spots up from deep and hits the three.
Yeah, if you haven't been paying attention, Kawhi Leonard is putting together a stretch right now that makes the Clippers a real dangerous threat in the West.
Finding Zubats there, who throws down the dunk. Clippers extend the lead to five. Under a minute to go, Clippers looking to pull away. Paul George turns it over. Here's Cam Thomas, but he misses this one.
Lefty spot.
Leonard gets the rebound, passes it to Reggie Jackson, who throws down the dunk. Clippers go on to win it, 124-116. Here is Jock Vaughn after the game addressing the Kyrie trade with the media.
My interactions with Kai have always been positive. I enjoyed coaching him. I'll keep it that simple. We've had some ups and downs along the way. I've also seen him grow as an individual and be a better teammate than when I first met him. So for me, I'm always look at the good in people and want the good in people, and I want him to succeed.
But he also wants the Nets to succeed, and Vegas doesn't think they're gonna anymore. On Friday morning before the trade request, the Nets had the second shortest odds to win the title behind only the Celtics. Those odds have plummeted all the way to plus 2,000, which give the Nets the 11th shortest odds according to Caesars Sportsbook. We're going to have much more hoops with legs later in the hour, but now we move to football because we are just 5 days away from the Super Bowl. It's between the Chiefs and the Eagles, in case you haven't heard already. The Chiefs had the most passing yards this season, while the Eagles allowed the fewest. It is the third Super Bowl matchup between the top units in those categories. It's also the third time ever that the top two defenses in terms of sacks have met in the Super Bowl. Philly had a whopping 70 sacks in the regular season. KC had the second most with 55. And the two highest fourth quarter QBR marks this season belong to Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts and Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes playing in his third Super Bowl. He won one and he lost one. Last night he talked about the one he lost 2 years ago to Tampa.
That loss, that stings. That motivates you for years. And that's what it's done for me, is it's motivated me to be back in this game again. And I want to make sure that I can have that winning feeling, not that losing one, because that losing feeling is one that you'll never forget.
It'll be quite a challenge for Mahomes. These two teams are very evenly matched. They have identical win-loss records. They've scored the same number of points. And they have the exact same number of all-pro selections. Even our analytics are split right down the middle, giving each of the two teams in Sunday's Super Bowl a 50% chance to win, which makes it just about as good a matchup as you could possibly imagine. So we have to talk about the margins, right? Like what makes the difference? What are the key matchups in this game? What are you looking at, Neek?
I think it's easy. The one time I've seen Patrick Mahomes like really struggle in an important game, it was because the offensive line came up small. And in this game, I think the offensive line that they have now is much better than that line that they had against the Bucs, but they're going up against a defensive line. And the Philadelphia Eagles that you mentioned, they had 70 sacks this year. They're relentless, and there's not one guy on that D-line, despite the fact that Hassan Reddick is great, there's not one guy on that D-line that is overpowering. They just have lines and lines of D-linemen that'll come after them. So Patrick is good at avoiding sacks. That offensive line is much more talented, but I think the story of this game is going to be told by who wins in the trenches.
What do you think,
Rob? I agree with that. And I think more individualized, it's Reddick versus Riley. And yeah. Riley is like the weak link here at tackle. Let me go down the list. Okay, Brown, tackle, 18th overall rank. Tooney, 6th overall rank. The center, number 1 overall rank. Smith, 11th. Wiley, 63rd.
Uh-oh.
63rd. So when you're going against Reddick, he already has 3.5 sacks in the postseason. That leads the Eagles franchise in the history of playoffs. He's got 19.5 on the season with combined play from the season and the playoffs. So you know he is going to be the guy that's going to be getting after it. And of the 11 sacks that Patrick Mahomes has had in the playoffs, 8 of them have come from just a 4-man rush. So of those 11 sacks in all their playoff losses, it's going to be vital that this offensive line is able to stop that pass rush.
One way to keep the rush off him is the run game. What do you think about that?
And Dan, to Neek's and Nico's point, like that, the part is fascinating to me. Will Andy Reid break a tendency as a strategist? He only likes to run the ball a third of the time, but their best matchup may be Isaiah Pacheco, who rushes for 4.88 yards per carry against a very suspect Philadelphia Eagle run defense that was 24th in the NFL. So if there's a vulnerability on this great Eagle defense, it's stopping the run. So the juxtaposition of that versus what Andy Reid likes to do, which is to throw early, to me, is the fascinating part of this strategy.
So your argument is to take the ball out of the hands of Patrick Mahomes. I think the Eagles would like that game plan, too. I'd be happy to let Patrick figure it out against that pass rush, honestly.
But that's what's the interesting part to me, which is the best way to slow down a pass rush is to run the ball. I don't want to take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, but that's why I'm so fascinated by the strategist of Andy Reid. How will he approach this game?
Mahomes has been playing hurt. He's on that sprained ankle, right? They activated Clyde Edwards-Helaire from IR yesterday, so they're a little deeper at running back. Maybe Andy's going to break that tendency you're talking about. I don't know. What do you think?
So you think about a pass rush. You have to earn the right to pass rush. So to get to third down, to get third and long, you have to be able to stop the run easily. I mean, if you're playing a Patrick Mahomes that is mobile, right, what is his ankle going to look like? Because the last time we saw him play, when he was rolling to his left, had to actually plant on that foot and throw the ball down the field, he came up limping, and you could see the grimace on his face. So with these 2 weeks here, how recovered is that ankle in the 2 weeks that he's had? You know, that's going to be vital to see, because as a pass rusher, I can tell you this firsthand. When you're going against a quarterback that can extend plays, and you know this as in the secondary, once that quarterback gets out of the pocket,
miserable.
It's so hard. It's impossible. It's basically impossible. So it's going to come down to the pass rush. Number one, stop the run. Then you can pin your ears back, but not getting behind the quarterback and letting Patrick Mahomes run around.
And we'll see how much better that ankle looks after that extra week of rest you get before the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, look, I don't know if you heard, but Jason Kelce, the Eagles center, and Travis Kelce, the Chiefs tight end, are brothers playing against each other in the Super Bowl. So if you're their mother, what do? You bring them cookies. And that is exactly what Donna Kelce did. What are we looking at here? Do we see it?
We're imagining what it
just
might
look
like.
Just like mom, she knows her boys had a big battle, she comes bearing gifts. Come on in here, mom. Come on in here, mom.
So that's Donna Kelce bringing her children cookies at Super Bowl opening night, which is just about as wholesome, Dominique Foxworth, as you can get, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty wholesome. I mean, she hugged Jason first, so I might be
hugging Jason first. We have a theory that she might be rooting for Jason. Regardless, the cookies look fantastic. Next stop is Denver, where the Broncos introduced Sean Payton yesterday as their new head coach. Payton will coach Russell Wilson, who's coming off a rough year. And he was actually asked if Wilson could continue to have personal trainers and quarterback coaches with him at the Broncos facility, as he apparently did this past year. Listen to what Sean had to say.
Coach, Russell Wilson had a personal coach, Jake Heaps, in the building with access who wasn't on the staff.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
How do you feel about players having their own people off the staff in the building access to players?
Yeah, that's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it. But our staff will be here, our players will be here, and that'll be it.
Man, he put that right on a tee. He's like, Sean, this is a ball on a tee. Go ahead and hit this one. What do you think?
Hey, it's a new day. It's a new sheriff in town. It's a new standard. And obviously, he's trying to set a culture here. You know, he's a Bill Parcells disciple, and that was Bill Parcells 101, which is it's players and coaches, and there will be accountability. You just hope for the sake of a relationship that maybe Russell Wilson knew that was coming, but that was certainly a shot across the bow.
That's what I thought. Like, has he talked to Russell about this? You would hope so, no?
It appears that it doesn't matter. Like, it seems clear to me that the money that we understand that they're paying him and bringing him in, it's his team now, and it seems that he's going to run the organization in a way that I think we all went into this thinking they better get somebody who's going to get the best out of Russell Wilson. It seems that Sean's given off the impression that he's going to run this program the way he runs it. If Russell fits into it, then that's going to work. If not, we're just going to have to wait till this cap runs out and find somebody new to bring into that system.
What do you think, Nico?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough experience for Russell Wilson, considering he was with Pete Carroll, who's, hey, come on, guys, hey, it's okay. We're going to go out of practice, we're going to run, we're going to feel good. Hey, let's go. Yeah, and then he's going to Sean Payton. It's like, it's not going to happen. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
I mean, as long as Sean Payton he's only been away for a short period of time, one season, but as long as he still has the offensive acumen that he had in the past, like, I have full faith that they'll be able to get this on track. And then the coaches, all this other stuff won't matter. As long as you win football games, nothing else matters. And I think they have the talent, the coach, and maybe the quarterback to do that.
Maybe the quarterback. But what do you think is the biggest thing that has to happen here for a Russell Wilson turnaround under Sean Payton?
It's easy. The offensive line has to play better, and it has to be firm. When Drew Brees came over to the Saints, he was a disappointment. He had a shoulder surgery, and there was a lot of questions about, you know, how good he was. And what Sean Payton did for a decade was they had a firm pocket and let Drew Brees step up in the pocket, and he went on to have, obviously, a Hall of Fame career. For Russell Wilson, he's a height-deficient quarterback. Same thing. Keep the pocket firm. Let him step up. He can obviously make great plays outside the pocket, but that only works if you have a good structure, and I'm sure that's what Sean Payton's job number one is going to be.
All I heard all year was that Russell can't play in structure. Like, do you think it can work under Payton?
So the tough part is, in 2006, I was drafted. I was that first draft class with the Saints. So coming into that environment, it was very much so a hard line. What's in the past is over. We're moving forward. We're creating something great here. We're going to create a winning culture. And how do you do that? You have to get rid of that old stuff, all that baggage. You got to get rid of the baggage and create something new. So there's going to be some growing pains here. And guys that are on this team that are really good football players aren't going to be there because either their attitude or their accountability or how they go about their business day to day.
Yeah, I think that when you have a quarterback like Russell, the outer structure stuff, you need to train or help him understand that that's to bail us out.
Right.
And you need to make quick decisions, especially when your athleticism starts to wane, which happens to everybody, and it's clear that some of that's happened to Russell. His outer structure stuff is as good as anyone's in the league when he's at his best. But you don't want to live on that. No one wants to make a complete diet of that. Even when he was in Seattle, they were much more run focused than he would do the outer structure stuff before. It seemed like last year they had an offense that didn't have much didn't have many easy passes in it, and Russell was trying to make more happen than he can. So I think one thing we know about Sean Payton is he's going to have a structured offense that allows for quick, easy decisions for Russell, as long as he buys into that. And then when things break down, make some magic, and we'll see what happens.
Like he always used to, and then last year couldn't do much of either. The Payton-Wilson marriage will be one of the most closely watched stories of the NFL offseason, and we'll obviously have much more on that as we go. We come back today, though, on Get Up. Is LeBron James really annoyed that the Lakers didn't get Kyrie Irving? And does he have the right to be? We'll talk about that. Plus, the question about Dak Prescott that absolutely fired up. Yes, you won't believe it. Michael Irvin was fired up. Is he right about the Cowboys quarterback? Wait till you see. Yeah. That's what you're going to see. We come back. Oh, yeah. It's going to be good.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, it's time for Fact or Fiction. Dominique Foxworth, if I said Patrick Mahomes will finish his career with more Super Bowls than Tom Brady, is that fact or fiction?
That's an easy fiction. Like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is incredible, but 7 Super Bowls is more than a ton of franchises put together. Like, what happened in Tom Brady's career is, like, rare and almost impossible. It doesn't mean that Patrick Mahomes can't be as good or better, but winning 7 Super Bowls and going to 10 is absurd, and it'll never happen again.
We'll check back 6 years from now after he's won 6 in a row. Nico, will Hurts get the Eagles back to the Super Bowl next season?
Fact. Why not? Ooh. Why not fact? I mean, you look at the Eagles, and they're only going to go up from here. So definitely the NFC looks like it's going to be a little bit weaker than the AFC next year again in their division. They seem to be the better team than the Cowboys, so why not? Sure, they'll get back to the Super Bowl.
Sure, why not? Hardly anyone ever does, but that's cool. Mike Tannenbaum, the Cowboys should extend Dak Prescott. Fact or fiction?
Raj, that is absolutely a fact. The guy just won a road playoff game, and when you look around the league, 56 quarterbacks were drafted in the last 5 years. Of the 56, only 8 of them are surefire hits. You're not going to find somebody better than him. Clean up his mistakes. They'll be happy that they have him.
Hey, you know who else thinks the Cowboys should extend Dak Prescott?
Who's that?
Who do you think?
Mike.
Michael Irvin. He had something to say about this yesterday, and we would very much like you to listen.
I don't want everybody out here to fall into this mix and this mess that y'all perpetuate, where everybody's coming in like, you got to get rid of Dak. You got to get rid of Dak. And leave us sitting somewhere in purgatory, somewhere between heaven and hell, without a quarterback for the next 15 years. So y'all can stop this rhetoric and stop this mess, because your virus will not get into our computer and get us out of the fight.
It already has.
We're going to stay in the fight. And we're gonna
already has.
So stop it.
I mean, like, there's just so much to unpack.
I feel like my take was so bad.
Yeah. Right, I mean, like, that's what we're looking for. Next time I ask you fact or fiction, I want purgatory. I want viruses. Purgatory looks a lot like Camelback Mountain, by the way. I didn't know.
I mean,
is he right?
He's absolutely right, and he's always right. He just is happy all the time. Like, yeah. There's nothing about being Michael Irvin that feels like it's wrong. But in this position, Dak Prescott, yeah, what are you going to do? You got to go elsewhere and cross your fingers. Like, we know what it is in this league. It seems very challenging to win without a quarterback. The one team that any of us believe has a chance to win without a legitimate quarterback is the 49ers. And you know what they've been trying to do? Get a damn quarterback. They've been trying to move heaven and earth to get that. So, yeah, you have a guy who won, as you mentioned, a road playoff game, lost on a short week on the road against the best defense. I think it's a bit absurd to be thinking that they could be better off if they move on from him.
If I can play devil's advocate, okay, not to incur the wrath of Michael Irvin, who's in Phoenix. I'll be in there. I don't want to run into him and get in trouble. Isn't there a zone that gets tricky to fall into where you're paying the quarterback at the top of the market, but he's not getting you where you need to go? Right? Like, I mean, this is where Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are.
Yeah.
They're good, not great.
That's fair, but here's how I would approach it from a team-building standpoint, Groz. I would sign him to an extension. That is a stabilizing move because you are in contention. You won a playoff game. And by the way, they were 2nd-and-2 at the plus 18-yard line. The game's tied up against the 49ers. At the end of the first half, they were right there. But the other thing I would do, guys, I would consider drafting somebody else. You know, Neek, you already alluded to it. Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, and Jimmy G, they have depth at that position. It was when they lost their fourth quarterback in Josh Johnson that their season was over. So both things could be true, guys. You could have Dak Prescott, and you could look to get another. But look at this graphic. 56 quarterbacks have been drafted in the last 5 years, and 8 of 56, that's 14%, you would say are surefire hits. Now, there's some guys like Tua Tagovailoa I left off that list because of durability. Yeah. Others, there's grades of incomplete. But that shows you how hard it is to draft a winning quarterback in the NFL.
8 out of 56, and one of them is Minshew, by the way, which, I mean, I feel like you're being a little generous. But that further underlines your point. But they went 4-1 without Dak Prescott this year, right? I mean, like, it's not – and I'm not arguing they need to get rid of him. I'm just – like, I'm wondering if teams fall into this trap of, like, we need to have a quarterback we can't afford to risk the unknown.
Yeah, but haven't we seen a team pay a quarterback – that they thought was really good, even get them to a Super Bowl and then move on from that player, like Jared Goff. I mean, think about Jared Goff. They paid him a lot of money to be their franchise quarterback. They went to a Super Bowl, and then they figured out, you know what? We don't think that he's going to elevate us to win a Super Bowl. So then what do? They ship him off. They go get Stafford, and then they go win a Super Bowl. So there's ways to figure it out. But I do think Dak is the best fit right now for the Cowboys. I don't think they should move on from him. So if they did extend him, there's ways to move a guy.
You're saying all the time, even if they extend him, that doesn't lock them into him long-term. Depending
all the time.
I would argue that they should lock themselves in long-term to him, and that the answer is improve the things around him. We have to accept that there are tiers of quarterback, and Dak Prescott is not Patrick Mahomes. No one is. He may not even be on that next level, but he is really, really good. And if you improve the offensive line, I think that was when he was at his best. In his rookie year, he had great numbers when there was less pressure on him. You get him another receiver that can go on the other side, and his team is special. Their defense continues to play well, and they do have a chance.
And one other very simple fix, guys, 11 of his 17 interceptions were when they were tied or had the lead. That's unacceptable. Manage him better and only allow interceptions when you're behind. If they do that, they're right there with the Eagles.
We'll see. Big changes around him, as we've discussed. Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, moving on to the Chargers. Mike McCarthy taking over the offense. We'll see if that helps Dak. Of course, as you guys mentioned, they do need to add a few pieces. When we come back, we'll talk a little more basketball. We'll talk about the Kings' disappointment. LeBron James lets everyone know exactly how he feels about the Lakers' inability to land Kyrie Irving. Plus, the stars align for Aaron Rodgers as his offseason takes a fascinating turn. Did you see what he did yesterday? We will discuss it when we come back. You won't believe it.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There are people who believe that Aaron Rodgers would like to finish his career somewhere else.
It sounds like there's already conversations going on that aren't involving me.
If you're Aaron Rodgers, you want to go to a place that you have a defense.
Not going to San Fran.
You have to have a quarterback you can go win with. Vegas makes a lot of sense.
Have you started recruiting Aaron Rodgers?
Duh. Why would anybody not do that?
A lot of Raider fans are encouraging me. We're having some fun with it.
Rodgers having a lot of fun these days, and yesterday his offseason took another interesting turn. He spoke at this is a meanwhile on planet Earth. He spoke at an astrology seminar on Monday, and yes, I'm serious. This is a little bit of a rundown of what went on during the astrology workshop that Aaron Rodgers spoke at, talking about learn how to be comfortable and happy in your own skin, understanding your birth chart through the four elements. You know, typical Monday like most of us have. And then here's Aaron at the, speaking at the seminar over a shot of his own birth chart. I guess, what is he, a Sagittarius? Did we figure that out? Sagittarius? So,
sure.
Yeah, Mina Kimes was following this on Twitter for a while, and there was a tweet she was interested in about Sagittarius, right? Key dislikes, feeling confined and being subject to rules. And you see there, yes, Mina found that interesting as well. And Dominique Foxworth finds that interesting. And let's be honest, on some level, whether we like it or not, we all find this very interesting.
I'm interested.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I want to know what Aquarius is.
What do we make? You want to know what Aquarius? Well, yeah. I mean, look, I'm sure you could have logged on to the seminar. I mean, slacking.
I'm not into astrology, but I mean, it's no weirder than a lot of other religions are. So if it works for him and it makes him feel comfortable, more power to you, Aaron Rodgers. And he does seem happier. But
he does, actually.
He seems happier. He seems in a better place. And if the stars and the moon can do that for you, then I'm happy for you. And what Mina found suggests that maybe there's something to that. But anyway, I would suggest that Aaron Rodgers take his time and figure out what he wants to do. And the best place for him, in my view, is back in Green Bay.
Well, I don't think that he needs your encouragement to take his time and figure out what he wants to do, because it seems like that's his thing, right? The offseason comes along. He bops around all these places. He drinks some tea. He goes and checks out his star chart. If you're the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, what do you need to see and hear and when?
A deadline a week before the league begins, which is about March 7th. And here's why. We have Jordan Love. We are going to move forward with Jordan Love. We would love to have you back, make about $60 million, Aaron. However, you are not a free agent. So if you want to play football and you want to talk about a trade, we're going to do it before the start of the league year. There's way too many moving parts for us to accommodate you in June, July, and August. So if you want to play, great. We'd love to have you back. If you want to be traded, this is a three-way transaction. I was part of it when we traded Brett Favre. If you want to go to the Raiders and they're offering a seventh-round pick and the New York Jets are offering two first-round picks, we're not just going to allow you to go to the Vegas Raiders. So this is very complicated. And the key here, guys, is he is not a free agent. He's under contract. He is not going to retire. There's $60 million at stake. And this, to me, is why the Green Bay Packers have the right to create a sense of urgency.
They don't have the right. They lost that right when they went and drafted Jordan Love. So Aaron does not need my permission to take his time, but I would laugh in your face if I was Aaron Rodgers, because he has the leverage. The reason why they were able to treat Brett Favre the way they treated Brett Favre was because Aaron Rodgers was cold. He was a great damn quarterback, and they're like, all right, go do whatever you want to do. If Jordan Love had been the player that they wanted him to be off the bat, they would have already gotten rid of Aaron Rodgers. So, like, all this tough talk from the Packers now is like, you signed up for this over and over again, and you took your shot, and you missed. But now that you missed, I'm in charge.
Tough love. Tough love it is. Wake up. Like, you can draw a line in the sand and say, you know, we've been nice. We gave you all this money, tons of money.
I think it's fair if they said, you know what, you're either going to play for us or you're retired.
That's not, I don't disagree with you. Like, it's fair to draw the line in the sand. The point I'm making is that line don't mean nothing.
Right.
Because you don't have an alternative. Like, your alternative is to go to a guy that you guys obviously didn't believe in, or you would not have extended Aaron in the first place.
They've also spent the last couple off seasons pretty much giving him everything he wanted.
Exactly.
Including that contract that pays him $60 million a year. You don't think there's a chance he goes to them and says, yeah, I would play, but only under the right set of circumstances, so we have to work together on a trade?
Right, and what I would say, that's fine, but again, once the league year begins in March, like, that ship has sailed and create a sense of urgency. And Nick, I totally get your point that Green Bay made their bed when they drafted Jordan Love, but so did Aaron Rodgers when he signed that extension. He could have tried to avoid the contract and play for free agency. Understandably, he took $60 million. I'm not
– right. I that's get a you. Very – I don't disagree with you on that. But my point is, if we're talking about leverage in this situation, which it can be like a friendly conversation and relationship, which it suggests that Aaron has been saying in the past that it's been better. But if you come in there with this hard line in the sand, then it makes it contentious. And when it gets contentious, you have to figure out who has the most leverage. And in my view, right now, Aaron Rodgers has the most leverage in this conversation. So Gutekunst right. and everybody else in that organization – they need to chill out. You knew what it was when you signed up. Aaron Rodgers has been like this since Aaron Rodgers has been in the NFL. You can't all of a sudden be like, oh, we need a firm answer. He's never given you a firm answer.
Real quick.
I think it gets contentious when careers are on the line, because if you're a coach or you're in the upper management, you're trying to figure out, what do we move forward with this team? And he's not giving them an answer.
That's not his fault. It's not his job.
I think it creates that line in the sand where you're like, figure it out. Tell me what you need. If you're here, great. If not, then go do your...
It's a business. That's what y'all say to players, right?
Look at the stars and do your Aquarius stuff.
Mike, when you cut a player, you're like, it's a business, right? Yeah. So Aaron can say, well, it's a business. Tough sometimes, it hurts.
The last couple of years kind of tilting this to his advantage. We'll continue to follow Aaron's movements throughout the offseason, throughout the stars, wherever his travels take him. But we're going to go do some basketball now, because Tim Legler is back with us, and we're going to run the floor. Legs. Klay Thompson had 12 threes in a Warriors win. Are we starting to see the Klay of old?
Yeah, we've been seeing it for a while now. And this is probably the most important thing that you can look into when you check out the Golden State Warriors, because they can't win a championship or contend in the West without what we're seeing right now out of Klay. This has been going on for about a month now, and he finally really erupted last night to remind people who he is.
Hey, Tim, I don't know if you heard, but Kyrie Irving got traded to the Mavericks. He arrived in Dallas yesterday. Can he be the difference for that team?
Yeah, he can be. Anybody with this kind of talent, you can't dismiss, but let's see it before we believe it, because this could be great or this could be a disaster if Luka and Kyrie cannot figure out a way to fit together, and it's really about Luka making that adjustment.
His old team, the Brooklyn Nets, lost last night to the LA Clippers. Is this Nets team built to make a playoff run when Kevin Durant comes back?
There's no question. I think they're absolutely a first-round winner. I mean, I don't know, are they as good as Boston, Milwaukee, or Philly? Probably not. But I know this. If you need help with the trading deadline, Jacques Vaughn, just look down the end of your bench, because Cam Thomas can flat out go. 91 points the last two games. That's not a fluke. This is a guy that can probably give you 20 a night if you play him 30 minutes going down the stretch.
He has been stepping up at a time when they absolutely needed him. I guess sometimes the answers come from places you don't expect. We have Nick Friedell joining us now. And Nick, you know, you're covering the Nets. Thank you for your service. You were there last night in the locker room. What can you tell us about the latest on where things stand with Kevin Durant?
Graz, we're getting an update today on his status from the knee rehab. The Nets are hopeful that he'll be back on the floor here very soon. But that locker room, it was shocked last night, because the finality of the Kyrie deal was setting in for everybody. And what I thought was most interesting is I've known Kevin and interviewed him for over a decade. I've covered him in two different places now the last few years. He is the most approachable star I've ever come across. The game ends last night. A couple of the reporters and I are standing there waiting for Kevin to walk through to his car. I look at Kevin, I say, do you have anything you want to say? Not only does he not look at me, he blows right past everybody. And the PR people are kind of like, okay. He doesn't want to talk tonight. I've never seen Kevin, who enjoys the camaraderie and the conversation more than anybody I've covered, absolutely blow everybody off like that in the moment.
So what do you think that means?
I think he is fed up with all the conversation.
Okay.
He wants to try to push it away as much as he can. But I know this about Kevin Durant. He understands the circus of the NBA, the day-to-day 24/7 coverage. and he expects that when he comes into any arena. The fact that he is pushing out everything here, I would imagine, until he sets foot on the floor or the trade deadline passes, is worth something, because it tells me, having been around him this long, that he doesn't want to deal with any of it right now.
Should he want out of Brooklyn at this point?
I don't think right now, Dan. I think, look, if you're Kevin Durant, you're sitting back right now, you're processing this. First thing, get healthy. Get back on the court. Look at the new pieces that you have. He's not going to hate being, you know, the absolute 100% focal point going forward in this short term. I think you've got to get to the summer. Let's see how this plays out the rest of the season. And I think you give management an opportunity to do something in the summer to bring in, you know, another higher caliber player. But I think this team can still be the top four in the West and be a very dangerous team against the three teams that I mentioned, who, by the way, are, you know, Chris Middleton, who knows? He's dealt with this all season now. That's going to be a big impact on the Bucks. And then you've got Boston and Philly lurking there. I think Kevin Durant, with the group around him, can take their chances in a best of seven against those teams. They might lose, but I think it'll give him a better feeling that they're closer than it looks right now after losing Kyrie.
And, Graz, all Kevin has ever talked about is wanting to play basketball. Dorian Finney-Smith, Spencer Dinwiddie, they fit with what he wants to do. The issue moving forward is, what do the Nets do with Ben Simmons' contract? Because if you're trying to add another piece for Kevin Durant, I don't see how any team is going to help you and say, hey, we'll take Ben Simmons off your hands right now. Bobby Marks told us throughout the day, he just doesn't have any value at the moment across the league as far as the trade is concerned.
What a thing to say about a guy that was a year ago maybe one of the potential prize acquisitions for that team. Obviously, the plan has not gone the way Brooklyn thought it would. Hey, who knows? Maybe Kevin Durant still makes something happen this year. Moving out west, LeBron James of the LA Lakers getting close to his milestone. He spoke to ESPN's Michael Wilbon yesterday and was asked about the Lakers missing out on Kyrie, a player LeBron wanted to bring to LA. Listen to what he had to say.
I can't sit here and say I'm not disappointed on not being able to land such a talent, but someone that I had great chemistry with and know I got great chemistry with on the floor that can help you win championships. In my eyes. But my focus has shifted now. My focus has shifted back to where it should be. And that's this club now and what we have in the locker room.
That's
and guys,
a quick pivot, LeBron.
It's a quick pivot. It don't take me long.
Yeah, which is good. Obviously, you got to deal with what you have, not what you wish you had. But like we heard Woj, Tim, yesterday tell us that, you know, it was more complicated for the Lakers to try and get Kyrie Irving than it was for Dallas. They would have needed a three-team deal, move some contracts around. Is LeBron James not sort of responsible for that? Like, didn't he put this whole thing together?
He absolutely did. I don't think anybody out there can really feel sorry for the situation that LeBron James has found himself in. He has gone about orchestrating teams and situations ever since the day he left Cleveland the first time. So no one's going to sit there and cry a river for LeBron. He created this. These are the guys that he wanted to play with. Now, look, he might point to it and say, hey, you guys didn't give me a good enough supporting cast, but they've had three different versions of that supporting cast. So I think the front office has done what they can. Injuries to Anthony Davis have been the biggest single impediment to why we don't view the Lakers as a legitimate contender in the Western Conference. You can't blame management for that.
Where do you guys think the Lakers go from here, Nick?
They're not good enough.
go home.
They can just take a break after LeBron gets his record. Davis hadn't been on the floor. LeBron is at a very advanced age. They're not going to be able to land Kyrie or another difference-making player at this point. This team is done for the year as far as any kind of major expectations.
Well, it'll at least be fun to see LeBron chase down Kareem's record here this week. At least you have that to look forward to if you're a Lakers fan, even if the team isn't going to make it where it wants to go. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tim. We come back. We're going to do some more football. Lamar Jackson is on the clock. Who should blink first in Baltimore? Our analysts are divided about this, and we will discuss it with them when we come back.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We are 4 weeks away, believe it or not, from the deadline for teams to use the franchise tag for this year, NFL teams, that is. And one name to keep an eye on, the name everyone's keeping an eye on, is that of Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, a strong candidate for that franchise tag, as he and the team have been unable to reach agreement on a long-term contract. Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey was asked by a fan on Twitter if he did any recruiting of players while at the Pro Bowl, and his response said, "Every time I try, I'm met with, are y'all going to pay Lamar?" Which is a very interesting reaction. It tells you that players around the league and on Lamar's own team are curious about when and whether a deal can get done. We've been through this the last two off seasons. They have not reached an agreement. And as I mentioned, he's a candidate for the franchise tag if they don't. How important, Mike Tannenbaum, is it for the Ravens to get this deal done soon?
It'd be great. It would give them long-term certainty in terms of team building. We all know they need another receiver. So if you get this piece in place, then you could certainly go out either in free agency or a trade and try to get the best receiver you can. As we know, any receiver is going to say, who's your quarterback? So this is not only gives Lamar Jackson the security he's deserved and earned, but from a macro team building standpoint, guys, like that certainty allows you to do everything else that Marlon Humphrey just alluded to.
Not very many players, free agent players in football, have a bunch of choices. But the ones who have a bunch of choices are the best ones. And those ones are looking for opportunities where not only they can get paid, but they can succeed. So, yeah, the longer you wait on Lamar Jackson, the more difficult it makes it to build your team. And then the other side of that is the more you pay Lamar Jackson, the less you have to offer free agents. But it's how you build teams. Like, it's not a new thing. It's something that the Ravens had to do in the past, and every team has to do, is figure out how to make the contracts work to be successful. But no matter what you do, whatever magic you work with the cap, it doesn't matter if that man's not working magic on the field. So you need to figure out how to get him locked up and comfortable enough to play to the best of his abilities on Sundays.
If you're a player deciding where you want to play, like how closely do you look at who the quarterback is and how long they're going to be there? Yeah.
I mean, I was on a team where veteran players would come play for us because they wanted an opportunity to play with a great quarterback. So that's everything. And if you've been on a team with a bad quarterback, you understand how bad it is. So if you are the Ravens, you have this franchise guy right there. Just go sign him. Do the right thing and sign him, because what he has brought to this organization, I think that if you sign him right now, you understand it gives you long-term stability that this is going to be our guy, and then you can go out and get the pieces that you need to go get.
He was looking last year for a fully guaranteed contract along the lines of what the Browns gave to Deshaun Watson. The team has made it clear they don't want to do that. Should he or they?
No, I mean, it's principles on both sides, and both of them I can understand, but I'm always going to side with the player in these situations. So I'm completely biased, because what he's doing for this team, I think, is much more difficult to find than what he's looking for. He's looking for someone to commit to him. There's a bunch of teams who need quarterbacks. They'll be willing to commit to him. They're not a bunch of MVP level quarterbacks on a free agent market. They're zero. So, like, I think that he has the leverage in this situation, and they should probably end up capitulating.
You know what's really interesting to me? If the Ravens give him the non-exclusive tag, which is about $32 million, would there be a team that gives up two first-round picks to sign him? You know, a team like Atlanta, who they feel they may be close. I think that would be really interesting. It's been a long time since we've seen that happen.
Didn't the 49ers trade a bunch of picks for uncertainty? Like, lots of people trade picks to get quarterbacks that they hope are good. Trade a couple picks and get a guy that you know is great.
Which is why a couple years ago when Dallas was franchising Dak Prescott, they used that exclusive tag, and I would think the Ravens would too, but if they don't, you're absolutely right. Definitely worth watching. All right, it's time for some NFL overreactions. We are going to put 1 minute on the clock and ask a question, and each of our analysts is going to get to weigh in. So here's the first one, overreaction or not. The Raiders will regret moving on from Derek Carr. Mike Tannenbaum, you start.
Yeah, that's an overreaction. He threw too many consequential interceptions last year. They're going to have plenty of options to be paired with Josh McDaniels. So I think Derek Carr was a good player, but he is certainly replaceable.
Nico?
I don't think they're going to regret it at all. So they move on from him. They go and find somebody else. We'll see what they do in this offseason. There's a big-time name that loves the Stars that they've been talking about. So we'll see if they get that guy. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be hard to be able to. Right now, it's easy to say that they're going to regret it because they don't have a guy right now that is as good as Derek Carr or as accomplished as Derek Carr. We'll see what happens when we get close to the season. But I tend to think, given the results from last year, that they are more than happy to move on. But they're in this weird position where they've paid Adams a great deal of money and committed to him. They're treating this roster like it's win now when it doesn't feel like it's win now. Yeah. And why would you send your quarterback, your best quarterback, away when you're trying to go after something, go up, make a championship run? So we'll see who they land. But right now, it doesn't seem good.
Right. To do it, to get rid of Derek Carr and not have a plan for the replacement, we'll see how that turns out. Let's keep it with the Raiders. If I said Jimmy Garoppolo is a better option for them than Aaron Rodgers is that an overreaction or not?
Yeah, that's an overreaction.
It's an overreaction. Yeah,
come on. Like, what are we doing?
Well, he knows the coach, Jimmy G.
I love Jimmy G, but it's Jimmy G and Aaron Rodgers? Like, that's Jimmy G's
cheaper,
been hurt.
Yeah, play longer.
ACL, foot, issues that you have with health. Like, right. You go with Aaron Rodgers.
The only argument for Jimmy Garoppolo is you would have more cap space to do other things. Yeah, and knowing the playbook.
Josh McDaniels.
He understands Josh McDaniels, that's fine, but that doesn't seem to – yeah, this seems to be obviously you would rather have Aaron Rodgers in this situation. Yeah. All of us would. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he's probably elevated. Our opinion of him is elevated because of his record, but we've seen them play, and it's not great.
Yeah, I'll make it a clean sweep. You know, there is one mathematical formula in every GM's office. Production equals tolerance. You deal with a lot with Aaron Rodgers, but that – production makes it all worthwhile. So on his worst day, he's still better than Jimmy G on his best day.
All right, well, we'll see. I mean, obviously Garoppolo has the connection there with Josh McDaniels. I don't know what his sign is. We have to dig into that and see if he's a better fit for the Raiders. In the meantime, one more. If I said Joe Burrow should wait to sign an extension so they can sign the guys around him, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, etc., is that an overreaction or not?
Yes, it's an overreaction. I think that if they roll that contract out to you and it is big and it's what you want and you have all the guarantees that you like, you absolutely sign that. I think when you are the quarterback, you're going to be the biggest piece and take out the biggest chunk of the salary cap, and then you work around that.
But I guess my premise is if they don't, right? Not that simple.
Yeah.
Waiting?
Then the point of waiting is to exercise some leverage to force them to sign those guys. If you're going to wait, then you'll have to be ready to wait and wait and wait and force yourself all the way to free agency, which I think is unlikely.
Yeah, overreaction. hey, that money. How much? $60 million? Okay, a year? Yeah, I'll sign that. Yeah, who are we going to have? I'll make them better.
And he made it clear that as long as he's there, they got a chance. Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
The window is never
closed. I actually think he should wait. I would see that T. Higgins gets signed, which should happen between now and training camp, and there'll be a window to get his deal done. But if I'm Joe Burrow, one of my superpowers is this incredible offense. I want to keep as many of those pieces as possible.
A lot of big decisions coming for the Bengals this offseason and next as they try to keep their outstanding team together and continue to try and make those Super Bowl runs. Here's our next ACC-SEC Super Tuesday doubleheader. It is tonight at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. We have North Carolina taking on Wake Forest. We have Kentucky hosting Arkansas tonight. Coming up on Get Up, it is Peyton's place now in Denver as Sean makes it clear that he is the boss. We will hear the direct message he sent to his new quarterback when we come back.